This is Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. Iron workers employed by American Bridge built the new span. They also built the old one. But times have changed, and so has the design. While the soaring single suspension tower is striking, some people who know the bridge best lament what we're losing.
It's going to be a beautiful bridge when it's all said and done, but I'm going to miss this.
Richard Meradian of Manteca has had various jobs on the bridge since he started in 1978. These days, he's a structural steel welder.
I'm a blue-collar kind of person, and this is a blue-collar bridge. The other one is more like for Hollywood. I hate to say that, but that's the only way I can put it.
The long-promised near Labor Day opening appears to be on track again, but uncertainties over the quality of construction have dampened the possibility of a Hollywood-style premiere for that blockbuster of an eastern span. It wasn't that way in 1936, when the opening of the brand new bridge followed 5 days of celebrations. A live NBC radio broadcast of the dedication and opening described it as
the largest, longest, and greatest completed highway bridge in the world. Our broadcast came to you by means of ultra-high-frequency shortwave from the NBC mobile unit en route across the bridge.
KALW's Stephen Short is going to take us back in time to tell us the story behind the original Bay Bridge.
The first recorded suggestion of a bridge across the bay was by San Francisco's most beloved eccentric, Emperor Norton I, self-proclaimed Emperor of the United States and Protector of Mexico. He issued this decree, which appeared in the Pacific Appeal newspaper on March 23, 1872.
The following is decreed and ordered to be carried into execution as soon as convenient. That a suspension bridge be built from Oakland Point to Goat Island and then to Telegraph Hill, provided such bridge can be built without injury to the navigable waters of the Bay of San Francisco.
It would be more than 60 years before Emperor Norton's idea became reality. Design plans were led by State Highway Engineer Charles Purcell, with construction beginning July 8, 1933. The main contractor was the American Bridge Company of Pennsylvania, the same company that built the Empire State and Chrysler buildings in New York. Critics said it was an impossible task, but the project was a welcome endeavor. A worker in the 1930s, in the Great Depression, was grateful for any kind of steady employment.
I don't think there was the animosity today about government programs.
Greg Bayall is a retired public information officer for the Bay Bridge. He held that position from the mid-1980s until 2004.
Name a program and somebody's there immediately to put it down. Yeah. And I think at that time it was kind of accepted that, you know, this is what government did for you. You know, they built things so that it make your life better.
Building the bridge was extremely difficult work, and it was dangerous, even deadly. At least 28 workers died during construction.
A lot of people lost their lives on that bridge. It was unbelievable.
Evelyn Rhodes of Livermore, interviewed in 2012 at the age of 97, remembers when her father worked on the bridge.
There's no safety nets or nothing. People have no idea how bad things could get years ago, you know, because there's nothing to protect you. If you were working class, you were doomed. They figure you're either going to get killed or you're going to die falling off of something.
Work was continuous then, too, all day and all night. There were safety measures, but not as stringent as today.
American Bridge built the suspension span, and they required their people to wear a leather safety hat.
Chuck Syme, a retired maintenance engineer, didn't help build the bridge, but remembers talking with people who did.
And if you look at pictures, you'll see people with leather safety hats and bareheaded people, because there was no enforcement.
Photos depict workers walking above the bay on unsecured wooden planks. Remember, the roadbed is about 190 feet above the water. And you can add another 300 feet or so to the top of the towers on the west span. Those leather safety hats that Syme mentions looked like football helmets of that era and would not have provided much protection. And for the record, current style hard hats were also available. But there was another danger beyond the lack of safety enforcement.
See, there was this machoism. You know what I mean. Yeah, if you showed any kind of fright, boy, they'll drum you off the bridge.
This macho man attitude even extended to Governor Frank Merriam. While cutting the chains to open the bridge on November 12, 1936, he refused to put on safety glasses.
Governor Merriam is taking the acetylene torch in his hand, having put on some gloves. He won't put on the glasses, evidently. There's a bit of delay, although for safety's sake, the glasses should be put on.
Safety glasses or no, the impossible task was finished, and half a year ahead of schedule at that. More than 8,000 men worked to build that bridge. Total cost, $77 million. That's equivalent to nearly $1.4 billion in today's dollars, or about one-fifth of what it's costing for the new project. Again, former Public Information Officer Greg Bayall.
It was incredible. There was nothing that came near it. And you could say, I mean, when I answered the phone at my job, and people have a question about the bridge, and you could tell them, it's the longest bridge in the world.
Several bridges surpass that record today, even if you include both the east and west spans of the Bay Bridge. But its significance for that time remains untarnished. In 1955, the American Society of Civil Engineers selected the Bay Bridge as one of the seven modern civil engineering wonders of the United States. For Cross Currents, I'm Stephen Short.